Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, January 20th, 2026. Today, we resume our study. Excuse me, I'm going to sneeze here in a minute. If I just sneeze, you'll know what happened. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 14, the first paragraph, beginning with Simple but Not Easy, and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with Who Presides Over Us All. Today's readers are Julie R., the 12 Steps, Kathy R., the 12 Traditions, and our Big Book readers are Craig F. in the text, Cheryl L. on page 164, and Judy N. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Deb A., and our second hour moderator is Matt J. F. OA preamble. Oh, sorry. The share IDs for Monday, January 19th, 2026 are 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 23,136. That's 23,136. And 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 23,137. That's 23,137. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps, 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Julie R. to read the 12 steps of Anonymous.
Hey, Rick, thanks. Julie R.
from
Auburn, California. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Yes.
Thank you, Julie. I will now ask Kathy R. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Hit star one, Kathy.
Good morning, everyone. The 12 traditions. This is Kathy, our compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are the trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, accepting matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Yes.
Thank you, Kathy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter Bill's Story on page 14, the first paragraph beginning with simple but not easy. And we will be reading that one paragraph ending with who presides over us all. I will now ask Craig F. to begin reading.
Thanks. Good morning. Thanks for your service. Craig F. recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Simple, but not easy. A price had to be paid. It meant destruction of self-centeredness. I must turn in all things to the Father of Light, who presides over us all. Simple, but short paragraph, too. We're in the middle of Bill had been explaining his what Ebby told him about his new relationship with God, that up till now the paragraphs have been a little more upbeat, what we're going to get from this relationship. But in this paragraph, it contains a warning, a caution. First of all, simple but not easy. How many things in life are that way? They're usually pretty simple, but we complicate things. It's simple. This relationship with God can be simple, but a lot of times we try to become theologians, and certainly I did, tried to understand greater issues of salvation and greater issues of afterlife and the kinds of things that people debate, and it didn't have to be that way. You know, this is a simple relationship that we're talking about with this higher power. You know, the simple relationship of there is a God and I'm not it. That God will help me in my daily life with my disease, that he will step forward and give me power not to eat compulsively if I just turn to him. But it's reminding us that we have to turn to him. I have to turn in all things to the Father of Light. I have to turn to all things to God. I can't just be selective about this either, that I, if I'm making a decision, I have to ask for help. And I have to live my life as though there is a God and I'm not it. And that's pretty simple. But it's not easy. What makes it not easy is my brain wants to take over. I want to be in charge. I'm self-centered, in other words. I see things from my own point of view. I see things for what's for me all the time. And, you know, what it's asking me to do is to become God-centered. In step 11, it's going to tell us that we need to pray and ask God to show us how to be of service to Him and our fellows. And we're going to learn how to
That's
be
time, Craig.
Thank you. Centered on something other than ourselves. So simple, but not easy. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thanks for getting us started, Craig. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share on what was read this morning?
Ken A.
Lisa B. Florida.
Larry. Is that Lisa B? Larry K?
Lisa Bonnie B.
And did I hear Bonnie?
Yes, thanks, Rick.
Ken WH.
Nicole.
Ken. Nicole.
Cheryl L.
Here's who who is that L?
Cheryl.
Okay. Let's hold off there, guys, and I want to make sure I got everybody in this lineup. I'll call the names. If you didn't hear your name, please let me know. I have Kim A, Lisa B, Larry K, Bonnie B, Ken WH, Nicole S, and Cheryl L. Did I miss anybody there? All right, Kim A, you are up first, followed by Lisa B. Go ahead, Kim. And please remember to include where you're calling from.
Thank you. Hi, this is Kim A. calling from New York City. And, you know, my first thought was, like the lead chair said, we muck everything up because we're always trying to figure everything out when it's already figured out for us, right? All we have to do is just follow the directions in the book. I know that... before I started working the steps from the book with my sponsor, I would try to figure everything out. I'd try to figure out my powerlessness and how it was making my life unmanageable, and I would try to figure out the idea of a higher power and what I thought it was and what to call it and what it could do for me, and, oh, what does that mean to turn my will and my life over? You know, none of that needs to be figured out. So much of that is figured out as we work the steps. It becomes clear. Even the idea of the fourth step inventory. Oh, let me take a year and write down everything that has like traumatized me and made me resentful. No, that's not what it's about. Everything in this program is so simple. And that's why this is such like a beautiful book. And I needed my sponsor to really interpret these directions for me. Even the idea, you know, if I'm keeping it simple, the book is telling me that what is causing me to go to food for ease and comfort is my ways of thinking, not specific types of food. So all throughout this book, simple directions, not easy. Bringing it back to the second step here, to, you know, coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves, all I need to know is that I'm not the most powerful force in the universe, right? I don't control the weather. I didn't, you know, fill the oceans. I didn't do any of that. There's clearly something bigger than me. So if I understand from my step one that lack of power is my dilemma, not sugar or food or my weight, lack of power is my dilemma, all I need is a power bigger than myself. And that's all I need to do. It's not a program of figuring things out. And I'll end there. Thanks. This is Kim A. from New York City.
Lisa B, you're up next, followed by Larry K. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi. It was Lisa C. hopefully That's right. Because I said my name a couple times. All right. Thank you. I'm Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And thank you, everyone, for your service. I think what stood out for me today is just the price that has to be paid. And I think for me, part of what that price has been an acknowledgement and an ongoing sense of humility about the fact that that I need God, because I grew up in a spiritual household, and I grew up in an interfaith household where, you know, this concept of God, it kind of had to bridge two very different religions. And it did for me, which was a gift. But I think that I always felt in my heart that other people didn't need God, and that the goal was to eventually not need to pray, to not need to ask for guidance, and to not need God to kind of walk with me. And I carried that belief, that, you know, dishonest belief, right up until basically, shortly before I came into this program, this idea that I should eventually be able to stand on my own two feet and not need God. So I think that part of the price that has to be paid for me is recognizing that there is no limit, that God is boundless, that there's no limit to how much I'm allowed to need help for everything, for small things, for big things, for the rest of my life, which I don't even have to think about, the rest of my life. I can just stay in today, like the program advises, and which I need to for my own wellness. But, that destruction of self-centeredness is something, every day, starting the day in prayer is part of that, right? Starting in prayer and thinking about other people and what they need, and what, my prayer can maybe send their way. Really, really thinking about this as a spiritual program of recovery and not, not just a way out of an uncomfortable situation, just being in an unhealthy body, misusing food. Those are uncomfortable situations, but it's so much bigger than that. What was really wrong with me? And now what is really right with me is also so much bigger than being in a right-sized body and having food neutrality. And it's because I have attached to the Father of Light. I've attached to the bigger power. And I constantly get, detached because of worldly clamors and resentments and all kinds of things going on in the day to day. But I just keep reaching my hand out as much
as time, Lisa,
as it occurs to me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Lisa C. from New Jersey. Larry K., you are up next, followed by Bonnie B. What's up, brother?
Hey, Rick. Good morning. I'm Larry Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. Thanks for your service, Rick. When I read this paragraph, I'm reminded that the human psyche is a self-regulated system. And what I mean by that is that for each of us, we can learn to monitor, we can change our behaviors, our thoughts, our emotions without external intervention. It sort of drives home the idea that even in challenging circumstances, each of us has the inborn ability to self-correct. But here's the problem. So you and I are faced with this disease where we learn that we have an obsession of the mind, and that obsession of the mind cancels out our ability to self-correct for long. We need the intervention of a higher power. And for me, a fitting metaphor for understanding the concept of surrendering to a higher power is that of a river flowing toward the ocean. Imagine the river as your individual life with all its twists and turns and obstacles. And the ocean represents the higher power. It's vast. It's a greater force. It's filled with potential. It's filled with wisdom. And as the river flows, it encounters things like rocks and bends and logs and eroding banks. And there's natural dams to contend with. And it carves out small valleys as it flows along. And these just symbolize the challenges and distractions in life. And see, when the river surrenders to the natural course of the land, rather than trying to push against these obstacles, it finds a way to move forward. It just happens. It happens smoothly, and it ultimately is going to merge with the ocean. In fact, just like the river, I would suggest to you that we couldn't avoid merging with the ocean if we tried. You know, it's inevitable. And this symbolizes how through surrender, we let go of our need to control every aspect of our life. Instead, we allow greater wisdom, greater guidance to direct our path. The river, you know, trusts its journey to reach the ocean. It surrenders to a higher power. That involves for us trusting this process of the steps. We accept the challenges. We embrace the journey. We don't know how it's going to end up. And so, you know, the paragraph says destruction of self-centeredness. And I'll close with you this, because the focus is on overcoming self-centeredness, this egotistical mindset. Destruction of self-centeredness is the pathway to inner peace. It's where the burdens of an unrestrained ego are replaced by the lightness of humility. That's what this program offers. With that, I pass. Thanks, Rick.
Well, thank you, Larry K. from Chicago. All right, Bonnie B., you are up next, followed by Ken W.H. Go ahead, Bonnie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Thanks for your service. Bonnie B. from Florida recovers gratefully by the as a gift from my God today. What a beautiful, beautiful paragraph again, and the shares have been fantastic. So thank you so much, everyone, for your willingness to share your thoughts. Simple but not easy. Everything in life was complicated for me. Everything was complicated for me. When I came into this program, what I came to understand is that the only way it's ever going to get simple is if I fully surrender it all. My problem was not lack of trying to organize my life. My problem was inability to take my eyes off of the things that are eye level. Everything was eye level. People, places, things, situations, kids, grandkids, finances, I mean, everything. And then trying to fix, manage, and control that. And when I became anxious on the inside, the food was my drug of no choice. It's what I neutralized with. But when I came to a place where I understood I was no longer focusing on those things that are eye level, and it doesn't mean that I didn't, because my tendency is to go back there, but by following the steps given in the program, which is to immediately take that emotion and say, God, what is that? What is going on? And offer it back to Him. I would retether to the Creator, to my God, the God that, you know, my God of my understanding. I would tether to Him once again, offer it back to Him in that third step prayer, get out of me and be of service to someone else, and all of those emotions would fall to the wayside. They're going to come and they're going to go because I have emotions. I'm not delusional. I know that I will never arrive at a place of complete peace without having to work the steps, because left to my own self, I am selfish. I woke up this morning, I've got a daughter and a son-in-law visiting from North Carolina for a week, and I wake up and I have a goal, I've got a plan, I've got like this agenda, this schedule in my head, and that's okay as long as I can weave in and out of today without having to like anchor to that schedule. But when I become restless, irritable, discontent, tight, or when I lose my peace, I know that once again I'm trying to figure something out. And the greatest gift of this program is that I get to turn it all over to God, second by second, day by day, and offer it to Him, and then live in that state of peace in that moment, and hopefully be of service to others, and to enjoy the journey, because it is a journey. And I think the joy is in the journey, not in having arrived. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks, everyone, and blessings to you all. Bonnie B. from Florida.
Thank you, Bonnie B. from Florida. Ken W.H., you are up next, followed by Nicole S. Go ahead, Ken. Good morning, brother.
Hey, brother. Good morning, Rick. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater from North Carolina. In Bill's story, we're in the part of the Bill's story. He's kind of gone through the first 10 steps, as we talked about a couple days ago. And that means he's getting moving into step 11, as far as I can read. At least that's the way I understand it. And he has just entered upon. A paragraph yesterday says that he entered upon a new relationship with his creator that would have the elements of a way of living which answered all my problems. He, up until this time, the book was telling me, the book tells me later, that I was set up with a higher power that would solve my problem, singular, with food. And that's where Bill is right now, at least the way I read it. And that's where I was when I got through step up to and through step 10. Now I'm in a whole nother ball game, and I've entered into a new way of life. And how's this going to go? And yes, it's going to change absolutely everything. Everything has changed by this point for me. I'm abstinent, and I'm living a new life. Everything changed when I surrendered and got the past straightened out and entered into this new relationship. And myself was in the middle of it all the time. It had to do with myself. I mean, even the big book, when it gets to step 3, it goes on an excursus about selfishness, self-centeredness. And now I've supposedly moved beyond that. And I believe that I have in my own life. And everything has changed. Relationship to God has completely changed. And it's the same God. It's just it's me that's been changed. Empowered by God to be different. And whether it's simple and not easy, well, I don't know. I've been AA for lots and lots of years and walked into the clubs and meetings, and there was always this sign that said, easy does it. Wait a minute. If it's not easy, why should I easy does it? I'm confused. And maybe somebody can straighten that out for me as we go along here, can speak to that. How is it not easy, but easy does it? Something's mixed up there. But I found out that I just needed to put one foot in front of the other and surrender. And once I did all of that, I moved through the steps, came to the place where I have become recovered and now have entered in upon a new way of life that I could not have imagined. And oh my goodness, it's wonderful. And so with that, I pass. Thanks, Rick.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Ken W.H. from North Carolina. Nicole S., you are up next, followed by Cheryl L. Go ahead, Nicole.
Good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service. This is Nicole S. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. And this makes me think of when you turn over to page 60 to 62 about the actor trying to run the show, and on page 62, it says, above all, we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. God makes that possible. And so this is not free. You know, a price has to be paid. And for me, it's just been a process of just constantly that destruction of self, because I am so self-centered. I want to, I think I know best. I want to arrange the people, you know, places and things in my life. And then, you know, when I do that, I complicate things instead of making it easy. I jump in and I try to manage, and I'm a horrible manager. In the meantime, you know, if I just let God be the director, be my principal, and let him work in and through me and give me the power and give me what I need to be his agent, then things, they're so much more simple. And my God, you know, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Mine is just difficult whenever I try to manage, and then it's not simple at all. And you know, it says all things, I've got to hand all things over to God. It's not just the big things. It's everything in my life. And when I can do that, and often I feel like it's not very very often that I do that, but when I do, it's just such a lightness, and I'm so grateful that there is recovery out there, and I'm so grateful for God who has given me this. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole S. from Colorado. Cheryl L., you are up next, and then I'll see if there's Lisa B. on the line. Cheryl L., go ahead.
Good morning, Rick. Good morning, everyone. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida this morning. I'm so grateful to be on the meeting and so grateful to hear all the shares so far. Going back in Bill's story a little bit this morning, on page 12, it talks about, you know, that brief moment when Bill had and want when he felt that need and that want for God, and it was, you know, it went away very quickly. I used to do that. I used to look for God in these very special moments, and I have written down here a bunch of things that came back to mind for me as to how I sought God, you know, in these special circumstances, you know, these special settings. And but for me, this whole thing around, you know, having God as my director, you know, following following God's lead, this has been very, very difficult for me. You know, I continue to play the director so much. Simple but not easy. Life was so complicated for me. You know, I'm a student. I studied a lot. I studied religions. I studied nutrition. You know, I thought I had all the answers. And the truth of the matter is that I really didn't, because I was so full of self-centeredness. I was so concerned with my own wants, you know, wanting to do it my way, not really wanting to listen to what others were suggesting to me. You know, I needed to be in control. And these are the things that came out of my fourth and fifth step, was what a control freak I was. And I can tell you now that my life is on a different, I am living my life on a different basis today. I'm getting ready to go to Israel with my brother in 2 days so that he can bury his wife in her homeland. And this was not of my own doing that this opportunity has come up for me. But the opportunity presented itself, and for once I listened. I listened to the people who would make suggestions to me, and I sat quietly with my higher power, and I asked, what do I do? And God has opened the doors for me so that I am able to do this trip with him and to be some support and some comfort to him as he brings his wife to her final resting place. You know, God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself today. And it's very, very, it's a very subtle, but it's also a very incredible process that has brought me to this day. And so I am looking for opportunities to be of service to others, of truly listening to what their needs might be.
That's time, Cheryl.
Thank you. This is what my goal is and how I try to live my life today. Thanks for letting me share, Rick.
Well, thank you, Cheryl L. from Florida. Was there also a Lisa B. Earlier that I missed? Just wanting to make sure. Okay. Before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter Bill's story on page 14, the first paragraph, beginning with simple but not easy, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with who presides over us all. And although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share on what was read this morning?
Eileen M., Maryland.
Rivka R., Baltimore.
Eileen M. Who was that?
Rivka.
Oh, Rivka.
Natalie S.
Elsie M.
LC. Who's okay? I've got Eileen M, Rifka R, Natalie S, I believe. LC, what's the first letter of your last name?
M. M is in Mary.
Okay. Let's see, who else?
Carol P.
All right, we'll get Carol P. Okay, got you, Carol. Anyone else? All right, we'll go with these, this five, and we'll see if we have any more time. So I've got Eileen M., Rifka R., Natalie S., LC M., Carol P. And if I got something wrong in your name, forgive me. And just remember to introduce yourself and where you're calling from. Eileen M., you're up next, then followed by Rifka R. Go ahead, Eileen.
Good morning, everyone. This is Eileen M. in Maryland, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. This is so great because it brings me back to, I've been in another 12-step program for quite a while, and one thing that my sponsor had me do like 10 years ago was, you know, in the first 164 pages, she's like, circle all the musts in this program. And I was like, in the first 164 pages, and I thought, oh, that's kind of a weird thing to do, but yeah, I'll do that exercise. And because, you know, I always like to scoff a little bit, balk a little bit when something is suggested to me. And what I found was that what it said to me was, you know, we talk about 12-step recovery being a program of suggestions. And, you know, there are an awful lot of musts in the first 164 pages. And you know, another thing that I was thinking about when I was listening to others share this morning is, you know, people had talked about, you know, I'm such a great student. I too like facts. You know, I like to, you know, take a lot of notes and, you know, be in the know. I want all of the answers. But they said, you know, Eileen, this program needs to make it from your head to your heart. You know, it's a long trip, those 12 to 18 inches. You know, it's a very long trip from your brain to your heart. And how that's able to happen to me, for me, is because of the God of my understanding and the relationship that I have with the God of my understanding today. And I'm so incredibly grateful and deeply humbled by that. You know, it just speaks volumes to me about my favorite step, step 11. You know, and I need to just be so mindful that. You know, there's some things that I need to do in this relationship with the God of my understanding. So, you know, God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself, and I love this program. Thank you for letting me share. Pass.
Well, thank you, Eileen M. from Maryland. Rifka R., you are up next, followed by Natalie S. Go ahead, Rifka. Rifka, hit star one.
Oh, sorry, I thought I had. Okay. Good morning. It's Rifka R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Maryland. And thank you, Rifka, for your service and everyone on the line. First of all, I apologize because I got on late, so I don't know if this was already addressed, but I just love these lines. I mean, this is, I think, the central key to recovery. You know, there has to be the destruction of the root of my problem, which is self-centeredness. And how do I do that? By turning in all, and you know, I don't have to fight the darkness anymore. Like I just have to turn on the light. You know, in the dark, my life didn't work because I couldn't see the truth, and in the light, I can see the truth. So, like, you know, why? Like as Ken said, like, well, why is this not easy? Like, why? What, you know, this is not easy. It's actually the central challenge of my entire life. To turn to the Father of Light in all things, and like, you know, why is it? What's so hard about this? So I believe that there was a part of me that was created that that seems so real. I mean, it seems like my only reality at times. And it's kind of a setup, you know, it's like a setup that, because it's meant to cover the godly spark inside. It's meant to keep me in illusion so that I don't really see the truth. And the gift of this disease is that it brought me to a place where I couldn't live like that anymore, because I was hurting myself and I was hurting others. And I couldn't stop destructively eating myself to death, and blaming others and just, you know, not being a happy person. And so that's a gift, because it, you know, it brought me to a place where either I'm going to break through that illusion to the great reality of life, or I'm going to die a miserable death. And thank God, this is exactly what, you know, the Big Book is telling me. You know, I am, you know, self-preservation is hardwired in my brain. It's not like I'm never going to not think about myself and what I need to exist, but the self-centeredness is not hardwired in my brain. That's something that I embraced as a way of living that doesn't work. So what these 12 steps have really enabled me to do is to break through my whole self-centered orientation. Not, you know, and again, that's my default. That's what I'm going to go to. That's what I was created, you know, to have as the impetus to bring me to the point where I break through to the great reality by turning in all things to the Father of Light. And at that moment, the moment I turn,
best time, Rivka.
Okay, I'll just finish with this. The moment I turn, the darkness is gone and the self-centeredness is obliterated. So have a wonderful day, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you, Rivka R. from Maryland. Natalie S., you are up next, followed by LCM. Go ahead.
Thank you, Rick.
Natalie.
Okay. This is Natalie S. from Indiana. And I kind of take a hard stop at this. This program is simple but not easy, because I'm a born complicator. I put my mind to something thinking I can, if I add more, or if I, you know, do more, or if I, you know, have people do this or that, I just complicate what could be so simple. And I was reflecting, I know it's an acronym called KISS, Keep It Simple, Stupid. We can say keep it simple, student, in this case, but I was told that a lot and I couldn't see it. And so I was remembering that this is a choice, and I can either, it says pay the price, a price had to be paid. Well, I can pay a price towards disease, or I can pay a price towards recovery. The choice is mine. And in the sharing about the river and the, I'll call it a creek, you know, I'm the creek flowing to the river. I remember, I think of Tom Sawyer just floating down the river and going to the lake or whatever it is on a big inner tube. Well, in disease, I turn around and I try to swim upstream. And that's not relaxing, and that's difficult. And I'm only focused on what I am doing, my own power, and it's not working. That's me in disease. Or I was remembering when I would, and this is in quote, make banana bread for my children for breakfast, and I would use the overripe bananas, you know, because they're sweeter. And then I would add, you know, like brown sugar and this and that and the other. And thinking that they would like it. They didn't like it. What it was is I was doing it for myself. And so if I just follow the recipe of these 12 steps as they are written, it's simple. I don't have to question. I can just, but that trusting is so hard. I always want to add something or take away something or beat myself up with something. And so I'm just grateful for this reminder that that God doesn't make it too hard. And what he asks is that I just follow directions. And everything in me, my ego and my selfishness, thinks I can do something better, and it just really clearly has not worked. So by God's grace and mercy, I can wake up every day, relax in that inner tube and say, okay, God, where are we going today? And ask his grace and mercy and direction to flow through me to help others and to find him more deeply. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Natalie. And as your first letter, your last name, is it S as in sparkling or F as in fabulous?
Yep, it is S, like sunshine.
Okay.
All right.
LCM, you are up. LCM, you are up next, followed by Carol P. Go ahead, Elsie.
Thanks. My name is LCM. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from outside Philadelphia. This paragraph is exactly what I needed to read this morning, and that so often happens in the big book. Whenever I open it up, the paragraph that I read is the one that I need. That we must turn in all things to the Father of Light who presides over us all. This morning, we had a bad time with our mentally ill son, and it was a hard thing to start the day with. I hadn't even gotten to my prayer and meditation. But all I can do is turn it over to my higher power. Lack of power is our dilemma. And I have power when I turn things over to my God. And I was able to meditate and pray this morning and then read this paragraph, just solidified that even more. And that's really what it comes down to. The most important thing in my life is my relationship with my higher power. Absolutely. And the Father of Light is where I'm going to get that power. So that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you, LCM from Pennsylvania. Carol P., you are up next, and I'll get some more names. Go ahead, Carol.
Excuse me. Morris, it's Carol P. from Michigan. Outside of Detroit, just sharing seems so simple, but not easy. Been in program for 47 years this month, and for many, many years, I bookended God in the morning and in the evening. You know, but when I walked down those steps, I totally forgot about God. And recently, and I think it's a process, but a lot of it is due to what we've been reading over the last few weeks about Bill's story. And recently I've been turning to God in all things, and my life is so much cleaner and clearer and better. I've been fighting for so long, I'm just tired. And because of this change, my life, God is doing for me what I was trying to do for myself, but I can't do for myself. So for today, I feel recovered today, and I'm very grateful. So thank you for your service. Thank you for everybody that's here and shares. And yesterday somebody shared, I have to give back, not just take from this meeting. So that really did motivate me to share today too. So thank you for letting me share. This is Carol P. from Michigan. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carol P. from Michigan. I'll take a couple more names. Who else would like to share?
Moraimi S.
How do you spell that?
Like Doremi, M-O-R-E-M-I, Moraimi.
And first letter, last name?
S.
Okay, and where are you calling from, Lynn?
Miami.
Okie doke. And who else? I think there was another name.
Jody
there.
B.
Okay, so Remy, yes, you are up next, followed by Jody. And Jody, first initial?
B.
And Herbert S.
Like Bowling.
Okay, all right. Herbert, I heard you. I don't know if we'll have time for you, but we'll see how that plays out. Marimi, you are up next, followed by Jody B. Go ahead, Marimi.
Thank you. It's Moraimi, like me. thank you,
sorry.
Everyone. But no worries. thank you, everybody, for service, and I'm so grateful for this meeting. Simple, but not easy. I've heard easy does it over and over, but as I read this passage, yeah, easy does it, but I do have to remember that I am paying a price. There are consequences to the choices that I have made. But I do remember, I'm not alone. God is with me in all things. Sometimes I even, throughout my day, I literally turn my entire body to the right and say, God, what is your will for me in this moment? What is your will for my day? I made this long to-do list, but is this in your will? And so this sentence helps me remember that, yeah, it is difficult. And yes, I am always in my own shit. Trust me, grimy as I can get sometimes. But I turn to the right and I talk to God. And so, you know, this passage also says destruction. I was talking with my sponsor and she said, hey, when you come into this program, you decide, you make a decision, like pesticide, herbicide, you're cutting it off. And so this is destruction of my self-centeredness, all this stuff inside myself, me too, control freak, read every book, you know, every religion of every variety, right? Searching for a practical way to face my issues. You know, I grew up in a deep South Bible belt, you know, hit you on the head with the Bible. But that didn't take me out my self-centeredness. Even that became self-centeredness. And so, you know, he says, you must turn, right? I must turn in all, not some of it, but every single piece of it. And that's not easy. And just here, remembering the Father of Light, it's not just over me, but everybody. This actually keeps me grounded. So I don't lose everything I learned down in New Orleans, you know, singing all those songs. I get to see how those things can really manifest in the fruit of the spirits, you know, that I get.
That's fine, Marimi.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Marimi S. from Miami, Florida. All right, Jody B., you are up next, and we'll see where we're at, if Herbert's got time.
My name is Jody B., from Minnesota, currently in Florida for a little bit. Jody is with an I. Loving all the shares today. Absolutely appreciate them. And I really love this paragraph and this notion of self-centeredness. I am so grateful that the God of my understanding, you know, created the ability in us to be self-centered because, you know, it's a way of understanding myself. Well, I didn't know, he or she certainly knew that God lives in my center and in me. And it just was going to take a minute for me to get introduced to this God in me so I could shift my centeredness from being just self-centered to being God-centered, and that we would work in partnership. And in this turning to the Father of Light, oh my goodness, how lovely. It's taken so many layers of the onion peel for me to really live with God in me so that we can move out into this world and do our thing. So thanks for listening. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, JBB from Minnesota. And Herbert, you've got a minute if you'd like it.
Sure. Good morning. Thank you. And my name is Herbert F., recovered compulsive overeater from New Mexico. And this certainly sums up my experience, simple but not easy. simple meaning to me. Gosh, there's 12 things that I need to do. It could not get more clear. 1, 2 to 12. Like, that makes it sound pretty simple, right? And what I've heard here and throughout the book of the answer, so what is so simple about it? What does that mean? Well, the answer is simple, surrender. Well, what does that mean? That sounds so simple, but boy, to surrender is something difficult entirely. So I had to learn the hard way over many, many years in my recovery that in learning about it and coming into the program, that surrender really meant at that moment when I had to decide what I was going to do, whether it be eat or whatever it was, life decisions, simple things in my life, those little decisions, I had to be guided by a new morality, a new way of thinking instead of what I wanted. So at that moment, the surrender happened.
That's
time, Herbert. Precise moment where I follow God. Thank you very much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Herbert F. from New Mexico, and thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, January 20th, 2026, is 23,139. That's 23,139. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Cheryl L. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Our book is meant to be suggestive
Cheryl,
only.
I hear you. Well, I don't now.
Can you hear me now?
Yep, got it.
Okay, sorry. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.